Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. We got a very special show for you guys today, and I know you recognize a lot of the guys on the show, and everybody's been on the show before, but he doesn't appear every day. We've got the Gall's CEO, Mike Batten, on the show. We love having Mike on the show. And our first main topic, they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. It's going to be all about the Gall's and a very critical part of what they do and what they make available to us as law enforcement officers. And you guys are going to want to stay tuned for that. That'll be our first topic coming up. And hey, we've also got Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State. And we've got Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, retired LAPD commander. He's now in Ohio, but his roots are all back from LAPD. He also wrote that book over his shoulder called On Thin Ice. More information about that at jeffweninger.com or onthinicebook.com. And lastly, but not least of all, is going to be Rich Steropoli, and he's retired Secret Service, a regular on Fox News, CNN, all the major news networks. So thank you, gentlemen, so much for being on the show. A shout out to our sponsors. Gall's is our title sponsor. So this is technically Leo Roundtable presented by Gall's at Gall's.com. Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor. I think that we're on our eighth week on satellite radio right now. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on the stream. And also Two Bells, they built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So check out that. You get cool gear like what I'm wearing. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thank you for carrying our content. Also Reed Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these guys for helping make this show happen. Now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? I promised a sensational story. The first one, it's going to get your interest and pique it. It's called grab bags. And if you don't know what a grab bag is, go bags, bug out bags, street gear bags, and also suit organizers. We're going to be talking about all that cool gear. But remember at the beginning of the show, I hinted about the importance and how they could save lives. We're going to talk about that as well. And we have some really cool stories involving those. And then some of the other topics we're going to be talking about: bullets fly in Florida. A deputy and a suspect are injured in a violent traffic stop. It's a female prisoner in the back of the cruiser that, she wasn't searched good enough, I guess. I mean, look, I've missed guns too. But she had a gun, and it didn't turn out good for either one of them. But she got the worst end of the stick on that one. We got a more police officer tases and body slams a suspect who broke into a home, and then we got an Oklahoma City police. They released footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. We also got alligator Alcatraz, so illegal alien detention facility proposed by the Florida Attorney General. What a thought. And that's in my neck of the woods. It's south of where I'm at, of course. But, Alcatraz down in Alligator Alley. Wow. Then double stabbing and arson suspect Bailey shot by Prince George deputies. We got Salt Lake City police release a body cam footage of an officer involved shooting. It's on the train tracks. And finally, if we have time to get to it, Johnson police officer shoots a suspect who hit an officer with their vehicle when trying to flee. So we got a lot of cool stories to get to, but the first one, I can't wait to talk about this. I've been looking forward to this. Grab bags, go bags, bug out bags, street gear bags, and seed organizers. And this is really all about Gall's because they offer all this stuff, and it's pretty much the standard when it comes to law enforcement, first responders. And as I said earlier, the CEO for Gall's, Mike Batten, is on the show today, and he's going to be able to provide some insightful stuff to us. So let me just start it off by talking about my own experience with Go Bags. I had a lot of different positions in the police department. I got to admit, when I first started, I was not really carrying Go Bags. I was in uniform, driving a marked car and stuff. And really, as I started working more of the plainclothes assignments and became more aware of a tactical sense, it became more important to me. So, and I must admit that even later in my career, when I was my last 6 years where I was working at the police union, I carried a go bag everywhere I went. And when I was off, my wife can tell you that I had my go bag in the car that we were driving everywhere we went. I always had it nearby. I had 150 rounds of extra ammunition. And of course I had the gun on me, but I had extra ammo in my go bag and made sure that the magazines that I had in the go bag would fit the gun that I was carrying. I had a police radio, and I had a spare fully charged battery for that. I had a mask, a hoodie, just in case, I did a raid or didn't want anything, didn't want my face recognized. And, I just had a raid jacket. I had all kinds of gear that might help save my life. But primarily what I was mostly worried about was having that extra ammo in case I ended up, for whatever reason, being in the right place at the right time. And notice I didn't say the wrong place at the wrong time, right? Because as cops, you know, we do like to get tested. So I always wanted to be prepared and felt that I had a duty for that. And so the best cops I know, these go bags have been so important to them, especially as they go later in the career. It's only gotten more important. And I only wish, Mike, that, you know, back then, you know, I retired, in 2013. So the tourniquets and stuff like that weren't really, you know, they weren't really out there yet where guys were carrying them. And now, of course, in go bags, they carry all that stuff. Jeff Wininger and I had a fantastic story the other day. We're at LAPD. He told me how he rolled with go bags. And I thought that I had it together. I mean, I had a separate bag for my biohazard suit and gas mask, and then another bat, you know, a riot shield, a riot helmet, and all that stuff. But I think, Jeff, I think you said that you kind of pretty much had everything together in your bag, correct?
Yeah, my bag was actually quite large. It required that I have a shoulder strap, and I would carry it. What was really nice about it is you would have the life-saving stuff, and you'd have it compartmentalized. And I actually would have it, I had some tabs made where I had it sewn on, so I knew where each thing was. Even if I forgot under stress, I could read and I could get the stuff for, you know, for tactical stuff or for life-saving issues. And, you know, what was nice about it is I would carry it. When I worked in a black and white in uniform, I'd put it in the trunk and everything was there. Then at the end of watch, I could take it, put it into my personal vehicle. So if I needed it while I was on my way home, involved in something, I saw something, I wouldn't necessarily just have my gun with one magazine or an extra magazine. I would have everything. And I would even throw a bulletproof vest into it, so I could, if something occurred, I could transition and have a bulletproof vest and be able to be identified in the event that I wanted to take action off duty. Because a primary concern when you're off duty is identification of being a police officer. People rolling up don't know necessarily you're a good guy or a bad guy, and you don't want to have that kind of confusion. So what it did is it gave me the opportunity to be prepared, whether I was on duty or off duty, going to the grocery store, whatever. I had it in the trunk of my car, and it was easy just walk into the station before roll call, take it up to the locker room, and actually, I'd put it down on the hallway down by our kit room where we would get stuff. And I'd even take, at times, we were allowed to take our radios home. So I'd place it in there as well. So I'd have a radio in the event something happened so I could directly communicate, because we had the ability to go to, if something happened on my way home and I happened to be in Huntington Beach, I could go to Huntington Beach frequency and I could broadcast directly to them. You know, I'd identify myself as an off-duty officer, giving my description so the responding officers knew that I was a police officer and to, you know, not perceive me as a threat if they saw me with a gun.
Now, I know we have, and that's fast, and I know your bag must have been huge, Jeff, huge. I mean, I'm on the Gall site right now, and it's under bags and organizers, and I'm looking at 867 items. And I'll tell you what, from the very first one I'm looking at, a lot of cool gear. And I got to admit that when I was carrying, I had mine was pretty much a duffel bag without having organizers. And so I had to hunt. In all honesty, I did have to hunt for what I was looking for. And the gear I'm seeing right now on Gall is where it's all organized, compartmentalized, where my ammo is in one place, my radio and spare batteries are in another place, flashlights and backup batteries and charging systems. I mean, you've got, it's all there. Can you give us an idea before, Rich and the sheriff go, about what some of your most popular stuff is, what you see the need of the officers that they're seeing? And I know you're still muted right now, but at the bottom left of your screen, you should have a little mute button bottom left.
Thank you. As Jeff described it perfectly, I mean, when you think about where's an officer's office, where's a police officer's office? And a police officer's office is wherever they happen to be at the moment, right? Always on the move, and they've got to have access to their gear all the time. So that's why the bags are so important. And yeah, on Gauls.com, Chip, you were I think just looking at it, you can customize those things. You know, trauma kits, just more options than you would think of. I think the best value on Golz.com is the Street Pro Plus. That's what I have. So not the we sell the regular Street Pro for like $45, but you want the Street Pro Plus. I think that's the best value in the market in our catalog or on our website. I was visiting with some officers the other day, and they had to get in the trunk for something, and all of their other crowd control stuff was just scattered across their trunk. And so I actually went online and I said, hey, you got to get the crowd control bag, right? So we sell the big ones that are on wheels that, you know, you put all your gear in and just keep it in one spot. And, you know, Chip, you and I have talked about this before, but my father and grandfather, both retired police officers. And that was my first interaction with Golz. Was I still remember it to the day. My father had one of those old school molded organizers that went over his plastic, that went over his seat, right? And it said Golz right there. And we still sell those today, the organizers for the squad cars. So lots to choose from on Golz.com.
I love it. Now, Rich, I'm aware of a story that you mentioned before we went air, but I'd love you to repeat that about your experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, I didn't realize you were going to be on the show today, but I am a huge fan of Golz, dating back to, when I first started back in the late 90s, right? You'd be hard pressed, and I've been all over the world, you'd be hard pressed to go to any military outpost, any office, any station, anywhere in the world, and not find some tactical operators with a hard copy Golz catalog laying around somewhere. So the story I was about to tell Chip was...
I'll tell you what, Rich, I'm sorry, you're going to have to hold that thought. We're doing a Golz spot, but this is important stuff. We'll be right back. Here we go. All right, guys, it's here to talk about Golz at Golz.com. The conversation continues, and, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places, especially when you're considering online, but I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that fits this bill better than Golz at Golz.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion, and they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Golz at Golz.com and listen to this. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code where you automatically get 15% off your next purchase at Golz.com, and that's good until June the 30th. It's Radio 15. All you have to do is type in Radio 15 at Golz.com to get 15% off your next purchase, and they also have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones at Golz.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host for a law enforcement talk show. We're joined by our special guest, the CEO of Golz at Golz.com. His name is Mike Batten. We've also got Sheriff Mark Kreider on the show, Rich Steripoli and from the Secret Service, and also Jeff Winninger from LAPD. So thanks, guys. I know that when we went to commercial break, we've been talking about the importance and the value of go bags, bug out bags, whatever you want to call them, and how important they are. And Rich from the Secret Service, he's traveled all over the world. He was telling getting ready to share a pretty unique story with us. So Rich, the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, thanks. So the story I was going to tell you, Mike, is prior to September 11th, you never saw any officers or any cops, you know, walking around the streets, certainly with automatic weapons on a sling, dressed in tactical gear, unless there was some sort of SWAT operation going on, right? So on September 11th, I happened to be assigned to the president's detail. I was in D.C. And President Bush, as the events of September 11th begin to unfold, we end up back in Waco, Texas. And it's about 1,000 degrees outside in Waco, Texas. There's a lot of stuff going on the president's ranch. And we see the president. I can see him, but I can't really hear what he's saying. And he calls the military aid over. And they're having some conversation. And they're looking up. And we've got two counter-assault elements, 8-man team positioned on both sides of where the president is. And they're pointing at us. And the military aid comes walking over. And he says, hey, the president wants to know why you guys are wearing all black. Don't you have anything else? It's 1,000 degrees out here. I said, no, actually, we don't have anything else. This is what we're issued. This is what we're wearing. So the military aide says, we've got to get you something else. We've got to get you into some tan BDUs and some, you know, tan boots just to make it a little cooler and you blend in a little bit better. So right there and then they go into the CAT truck, the counter assault team truck, and we had a copy of the Golz catalog. And on the hood of the Chevy Suburban in Waco, Texas, me, another CAT guy, and the White House military aide went through the Gauls catalog and picked out the attire we were going to wear. They took those pictures back over to President Bush. And the next day we had tan BDUs and, desert camo and everything else we needed. But it all came down to that hard copy printed version of the Gauls catalog. And I will add one other thing, if I've got a couple of seconds. I think it was a brilliant business decision printing the Gauls swimsuit calendar so prominently featuring Chip the Block and the rest of the village people. I understand it's a huge seller on the West Coast and in certain parts of Thailand where they really don't speak English.
Wow, that hurt. Wow. But Mike, I bet you've never heard that story about, the president of the United States being involved in that conversation. About
I have
Gauls.
Not. That's a great story. That's a great story. And oddly enough, I was telling during the break, these guys, I'll say it again. When I started, because my father knew the day the Gauls catalog was going to hit the mailbox. And when I started at Gauls 5 years ago, I was so fired up. I came in the first day, guys, where's the catalog? Because I was excited that I was going to be able to be part of this catalog. And they laughed at me. I'm like, we don't print the catalog anymore. What are you, from the 70s? So guess what, boys? We're printed again. And it took me a couple of years to get it back off the ground. But the Gauls catalog is back and alive and well.
Yeah, that thing wouldn't even, the old one wouldn't even fit into a mailbox today, would it? I mean, that thing was thick and huge. It was shaggy. I couldn't even imagine the cost of having to mail the original one. But of course, you guys obviously have so much gear. I mean, just looking at your tactical bags and packs, I mean, looking at 867 items, there's no way you could have, I would envision, I mean, thank God for the internet, right? Because trying to have a physically printed catalog that has everything that you have, which probably changes every month anyhow, that would be almost an impossible feat. But I'm so glad you've got a printed version out there. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. 11 pages worth of bags, but you can go to Gauls.com, get your discount code, and you can scroll for hours.
Yeah, Radio 15. Now, Sheriff Mike Kreider, I know you had a story as well.
Yeah, I'll start out by saying that all my deputies have a seat organizer. Even though they have take-home cars, they have a bag that they're issued when they first come aboard, and that has all their lifeline stuff for their office when they're driving around, obviously in a fairly big county. But when I was with the FBI and we were in Afghanistan, one of the things that when I got over there, we did not have bailout bags. And obviously those bailout bags were essential for escape and survival because we were kind of out in the weeds on our own a lot of the time, operating kind of independently. And so we needed a bag that we could put about a week's worth of survival type gear, not only tactical stuff, ammunition, that kind of stuff. And when I was trying to outfit these bags, I wanted some flashbangs in there as diversionary devices. And I went to some special forces operators that we worked with, and I asked them, I said, hey, do you guys have any flashbangs that we can put in our bailout bags? And they looked at me like I was crazy, and they said, flashbangs? And I said, yeah, diversionary devices, flashbangs. They're like, yes, we know what a flashbang is. They're like, you're in a war zone. We will give you frags. And I kindly explained to them that as a law enforcement officer, we're not allowed to carry frags. So we didn't have any flashbangs to throw in our gear. And I also asked the FBI for like $5,000 because you can buy your way out of a lot of situations. And you would have thought I asked to sleep with the director's daughter. It was, we can't trust FBI agents with $5,000. That'd be crazy. Oh. But yeah, we had ours organized with rifle ammo, pistol ammo, and obviously some food products and all the escape and medical gear that you can talk about. And we needed them small enough that we could backpack them out and carry them with us if our vehicle went down. So yeah, great products and Gauls. And I do remember going through that catalog and picking out gear for our SWAT team and our tactical teams. It's awesome.
All right. Well, I know we're coming up on our second commercial break, and I know that Mike Fadden, the busy guy that he is, he's probably going to have to get on. But any final words to our listeners in 5 seconds, Mike?
Thanks for having me as always. And thanks for listening. And go to Gauls.com and get that discount code.
Love it. That radio coach, Radio 15, guys, galls.com. Thank you so much, Mike. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, and that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And, yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, it virtually eliminates weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they get the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up actually today, Undercover Operations, June the 25th, you can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. Wow, what a great segment we just had with the CEO of Galls, Mike Fadden, and talking about go bags and stuff. Thank you, guys. Everybody had a really interesting story. So, that was a good segment. If you guys are cool with it, I think we have enough time to go in and start off with the update article. And it's a local one in Florida. Tampa FP, which stands for the freepress.com. Bullets fly in Florida. Deputy and a suspect are injured in a violent traffic stop. There's something to be learned from this. A routine traffic stop in Florida escalated into a violent confrontation. This happened on Monday morning when the suspect, who was already under arrest, allegedly fired a concealed weapon at a Marion County Sheriff's Office deputy. Both the deputy and the suspect, who is a female, by the way, sustained injuries, but they have already been released from the hospital. It goes on to say that this happened in a place called Summerfield. Deputies pull over Rihanna Harden. She's 22 years old. During the stop, Harden's arrested on multiple charges, including driving with a suspended driver's license, providing false ID. You know, she didn't want to get caught. Possession of methamphetamine and possession of drug paraphernalia. So while she's being transported to the jail, so they kind of skip over the whole search thing. And of course, there's automatically questions I have. You know, some agencies, like I can search a female, you know, in my agency, there are rules to that. But ideally, if you have a female officer that's handy, you can have them and probably should have them, you know, search the female. But in this case, she's in the car, doesn't mention anything about her being searched. So she's in the car. She produces a small caliber handgun on her way to jail. It had been concealed in the crotch area of her pants. She then reportedly fired at the deputy and caused injury. And the deputy, who they have not released his name, he returns fire and hits her. They both end up going to the hospital for treatment. And authorities confirmed that the deputy and the suspect, they've since been released. The deputy's injuries are described as non-life-threatening. But just a little reminder about how important it is before you put people in the back of your cruiser, even if they're handcuffed behind their back, even if you have a seatbelt on them, if there's a cage, it doesn't matter. You know, we've all, if we've never missed a gun ourselves or a weapon, we certainly know of people who have. I mean, I've been in the back seat of my car and found weapons after some other cop has not searched good enough. Or, you know, whenever, you know, anyone takes anyone in and out of your car, you always have to reassess. Don't never take someone's word for that they've searched somebody. You always search, if that person's going to be in your custody, you always search that person yourself. Never, and always search the back seat before you put the bad guy in there because of something that someone else had left in there before. Any commentary on this, guys, or Jeff Weininger?
Yeah, you know, throughout my 33-year career, you'd be shocked how many times there was evidence of guns being missed. And it doesn't always play out as it did in this particular scenario. But when I was a deputy sheriff, I was assigned to the Inmate Reception Center of L.A. County. And every male arrestee in the county came through our doors eventually. And the number of guns that we would find after these people had been searched and transported to our facility, wow, what was unbelievable. And as a watch commander, having the watch go out and the first thing they do is search their cars, and they find a firearm secreted somewhere in the backseat area, and they bring it to your attention. So it's the prior watch transported somebody, and you have this gun. So it's unfortunate that this occurs. Nobody's perfect. We're all susceptible to conducting a deficient search under certain circumstances. And that's why it's just really important, just like you have people review your arrest reports and things, have another person conduct that search. It's a team effort. And just because one person has conducted a search, like you said, Chip, you can't lower your threshold of concern and assume that everything has been located and additional searches need to be had. And when it comes to the female with the LAPD, you are to request a female. And I think that's a good idea, because this day and age with the type of the complaints and, he grabbed me, he groped me, it was beyond a search. It just really protects the officer and ensures that the searches will be done in a manner that's going to be able to identify guns that are secreted in, say, in the crotch area and in the breast area. And you're not necessarily going to be searching being concerned of getting a complaint. You're searching to find something if there is something. So, I think it's a good idea for agencies to have policies where women search women.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'll pick up on that, Chip. I agree with what you're saying, Jeff, right? There are plenty of agencies and departments that have, cut and dry policy about using women to search women. But that doesn't mean you lower your guard, or you certainly give up control of your suspect or your perp, right? There are plenty of stories that are just like this, that mirror this video that we've seen, or certainly of women that are put in cuffs and somehow managed to get themselves out of those cuffs, right? And then you've got another problem on your hand. But, years ago, I was assigned to a U.S. Marshal Fugitive Strike Force, and some, 30-year hairbag guy grabbed me aside and says, "Hey, kid, come here. Let me show you something." And then we were searching this woman, and we brought in a female and pretty much stripped her down in the street for this very reason, right? You can't take the chance on a gun being secreted somewhere, and it unfolds, in the manner that this thing unfolded, right? That's not a good day for anyone. But Chip's right, given the liberal, woke DEI prosecutorial hires that are floating around out there, you've got to protect yourself. If the situation warrants it, get a female to do it. But it's got to be done. You cannot overlook this step.
Yeah, I know when we did it, we had to use the back of our hands, and there were other restrictions. Of course, the policy could have changed, by now. But Jeff, what you say, I always, if I had a female available, it always made perfect. Shame on me if I'm not using a female to search a female if I have one that's available or that I can get to, readily. And now I'm not really talking about that 30-30 initiative where, 30% of, agencies are supposed to have, female, 30% of their department made up of females by the year 2030. But there are more females in law enforcement, arguably, than there ever have been. So it should be a lot easier to get a female to help you out with that. But Sheriff, if you're in a county and you've got, don't have a lot of manpower, and the next deputy is 45 minutes or an hour away, that could always be a prop issue too. So
Jeff kind of stole my thunder. One of the problems that I've seen, especially from a long time ago when I started, is this hesitancy for males to thoroughly search females, because you're going to get accused of groping or whatever. And I can tell you, we had an incident here not long ago that a deputy missed a gun. But when I went back through and started asking him, "Hey, what do they teach you at the academy?" Because he hadn't been out of the academy all that long. And, this BS of trying to search with the back of your hands and be politically correct. You know what? I search a female just like I search a male. If he's going to complain that I groped him, he's going to complain. She's going to complain that I groped him. But in order to be thorough, and we didn't even touch on drugs. You get to the jail, and then they start searching them a little more thoroughly, and you got all kinds of drugs dropping out of everywhere off their body as well. So, yeah, we've kind of become politically correct to our detriment, and it increases the risk to our officers and deputies across the nation because they're not thoroughly searching these individuals.
Yeah, the reality is there were two instances during my career where a search would not have found it on a female, if you know what I mean. It had been secreted. So an exterior path down search of everything would not have found it. And it wasn't until they get into the jail cell where they then remove it, and then it's identified and found. So, there's that issue as well.
Yeah, and a lot of at our jail, we have a full body scanner now, which catches some of that stuff. And then you put them in a dry cell and wait for it to either pass or get it out of their body. So, yeah, it's tough.
But even that can't negate the fact that you've got to do that preliminary pat down, right? And the only way you can do that well is with using your hands, just like you would with any guy that you've gotten in custody, right? You've got to look for it and take away that opportunity for that person to grab that gun. I mean, how many times have you pulled a car over and there's two potential perps inside, and the bad guy hands his gun to his girlfriend because they're pretty sure you're not going to search the girlfriend as thoroughly. And the next thing you know, you've got a problem on your hand. I'd rather deal with a problem, somebody saying, hey, this guy inappropriately touched me, than I've got to explain why I've had a shootout in my squad car while I'm taking somebody to jail. That's a much bigger problem.
You know, Rich, I just got a flash from the FCC. They're going to be adding an eighth word to the seven words you can't say on radio, and it's called secretion or any variation of the word. Jeff has used that word three times so far, and it almost sounds like it should be outlawed by FCC. Every time my brain is probably just going somewhere where it shouldn't go. But every time I hear you say that, Jeff, it always gives me that pucker factor. Like I got to call Will and tell him to put the beep over that word, you know, but it's a great, great commentary, gentlemen. If there's nothing else, we'll move on to our story with the video. Well, actually, we got 30 minutes before we take a commercial break, so it's making this process pretty easy. So look, stick with us, guys. Next story we're going to cover, it's got a video component. It's good stuff. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about guns that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, misidentifications, accidental discharges, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and law enforcement agencies nationwide. Now, guys, if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, they've got a deal for you. The founder, Dana Kelly, has come up with a way that you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that site, it's gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host for a law enforcement talk show, joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, former LAPD, Rich Steropoli, and former Secret Service. So thanks, guys, for being on the show. Are you guys ready to cover a story with a video component? All right, this is going to be a wild one. It is rumble.com is where we get the story from. Our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And more police officer tases and body slams a suspect who broke into a home.
Well, unfortunately, you have warrants for your arrest. I need you to turn around, put your hands behind your back.
For what? What am I warrants for?
Turn around. They're for local warrants.
I don't have any warrants. I want you to tell me what they're for.
Turn around and put your hands behind your back.
Tell me what they're for.
Taser.
Turn around, put your hands behind your back.
Get out of my house.
Turn around, put your hands behind your back. You're going to get tasered.
No!
So we're at Moore, Oklahoma, and look, for audio listeners, please stay loyal to the outlets bringing you this stuff. We'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if you want to see a video that we're talking about, just go to our Rumble channel. The very next day, Our producer takes a special version of this live show. He'll reproduce it at 9 o'clock Eastern time on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. And in that special version, he'll embed all the videos we talk about in the show as we talk about them and put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as well. So more Oklahoma, more police respond to a house where a man reportedly is inside without a homeowner's permission. And the officers attempted to detain this guy. He's pretty much come bad off the bat. His name is Jason Gerard. And Mr. Gerard, he has active warrants, but things end up getting physical. So he ends up saying, "Hey, this is my house. Get out of my house. Get out of my house." And he's trying to make the cops believe that he has the right to be there, saying that I haven't been here in quite some time, but they know what time it is. So I always take pause when the officers tell a guy that he's going to be arrested and start giving him advanced information about he's going to be making the trip. You know, it just gives the bad guy time to think about, you know, what they want to do in order if they don't want to go bad enough. And so they tell this guy that he's got warrants. He's not handcuffed. They don't even have hands on him yet. And then he gets in the conversation. He wants to find out what are the warrants for, and he refuses to be detained by the officers. Well, this guy, I guarantee you, knows what he's wanted for. He's just trying to create more time to plan what he wants to do. And so police can be heard multiple times in the video warning him that they're going to tase this bad guy who is a suspected burglar, and it's a burglary in progress. And he still refuses to comply, and officers tase him. It didn't look like it was super effective, so the tasing officer charges this guy, and now they're in this narrow hallway. And you got a bunch of cops, one bad guy in a narrow hallway. So he continues to resist, and this one cop that was charging him does a pretty impressive body slam. I was impressed. And then they kind of pile on, and they arrest the guy and book him for breaking and entering, resisting arrest, and, of course, for the outstanding warrant. So that's the way this thing goes down. And another note, in my show notes, I noted that only one officer seemed to be willing to go hands-on. Even when this one officer's fighting the bad guy, the other officers that are close by, they're doing the taser thing instead of just no one wants to get up close and personal. Drives me crazy. I didn't know if you guys felt the same way or noticed the same thing, but any commentary on this use of force from this one? And we're having a show down here. Okay, Rich. Rich is the weak link. He's going to go first. So thanks, Rich, for going to start us off.
I saw exactly what you saw, Chip. Right? You know, you've got one guy who's willing to go hands on because the taser's not working. I mean, how many times are we going to tell this guy to comply, or are you going to face the circumstances? And in this case, you're going to get shot. Right? He's lucky all they did was taser him and then body slam him to the ground. I think the bigger problem, which, you know, you deal with cop on cop later on, are the guys that didn't back up this first guy and get in there and go hands-on with this guy. Ultimately, that's what we're paying cops to do. Sometimes you've got to get dirty. You're going to have to put hands on people. And I've said this before. I think law enforcement has gotten to the point where we're trying to fill a slot. We're hiring nice people, but that doesn't necessarily translate to people that are willing and able to do the very basics of this job. And sometimes that means you may put yourself in a position where you're going to have to put hands on someone.
Yeah, agreed. Jeff?
Yeah, you know, like I've always said in a number of previous shows, I'm not a huge fan of the taser. And I did have a concern, and all officers need to be aware of this, that after the taser has been deployed and you have the darts are out, you have the wires, and those wires are also live. So as an officer, if you go to put hands on and you make contact with those two wires at the same time, you could also suffer neuromuscular incapacitation. So that's a concern. You know, one thing that we saw with the LAPD was we carried the PR-24, and that's the one that, you know, has the Aurora handle. And prior to Rodney King, people would bring that out and they would use it. But then we had Rodney King, where he was struck, 56 times, and very deficient strikes. If you're proficient with that, it doesn't take more than a couple power strokes and you're going to be in control of the situation. But as a result of that incident, you started seeing officers being hesitant to use the PR-24. And they would rely more on these tactical de-escalation tools of less lethal taser. Tasers only work about 30% of the time. I've never been a fan. I've never had them actually work for me. But I'm a huge fan of hands-on. And I'll tell you, that officer that body slammed him, you know, he looked like he certainly had some wrestling expertise. You know, I can't imagine he would have any concern going hands on this guy. There was no evidence that he was armed or had any access to weapons. But you come out with that PR-24 and you take care of business, and it's over in a short period of time. And it, once again, you know, I hate to say it, but this is another incident where perhaps the glove could have been an optimal tool, where you close a distance, glove to skin, it'll be over 2 to 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And this bad guy was he's not a small guy. This bad guy, you know, is somebody that you needed to get this fight over with quickly. You know, he was not a small guy.
You know, I hate to say it, Chip, but law enforcement officers, when you're talking about these bad guys, you talked about it, how he's buying himself time to determine what he's going to do. And what they're going to do, they're either going to comply, they're going to fight, or they're going to flee. Those are the three things they're going to do. And they're hedging their bets, determining which way they're going to go. And to me, deploying a taser is a weakness. It demonstrates a weakness. It demonstrates your fear, in my mind, or hesitancy to go hands-on. And these bad guys respect a guy that's going to step forward and say, okay, I'm going to get dirty with you. And that gets people's attention. And they will read that versus keeping this distance, taser, you know, well, we're going to tase you, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I need to remind anyone. I think part of the assessment that this bad guy is making, he's reading every cop in that room. And before he jumps out the window and takes off running, because those two cops that he's been talking to for 10 minutes, right, while he's putting his plan together are 60 pounds overweight, and they've got no chance of catching this guy if he bails out. Or he's sizing up the person whose gun he's going to take, and he's going to try to kill everyone in the room. At some point, conversation's over, right? The taser, I don't like that thing one bit. Laying hands on somebody, you know what? For the profession that we've chosen, that's one of the options, and sometimes that's the only option and the only way you're going to end the situation. And if you're not prepared to do that, don't become a cop, right? Become something else. This isn't for you.
Yeah, well put. You know, there's no reason why you can't tell the bad guy, well, look, if it was me and I was really worried about fighting the guy, I would make up a story and say, dude, we just need to make sure who you are, put your hands behind your back. But by the time I told him to do that, I'd already have my hands on him, maybe his waistband. But, you know, yeah, I just don't know. I just don't understand the whole distance thing and then telling someone that they're going to arrest him. And it just makes no sense to me at all.
So. Agreed.
Yeah. Sheriff Kreider, we got about a minute and 10 seconds.
That's what they're teaching in the academy, at least in Washington State, is time, distance, cover, time, distance, cover, time, distance, cover. What I learned was speed, surprise, and violence of action. We're gonna formulate a plan. And unfortunately, I think a lot of times these days, the bad guy's formulating a plan and the good guy is not formulating a plan for exactly what Jeff talked about. He's either going to fight me, he's going to run for me, or he's going to comply with me. And I need to have a plan for each one of those as to how I'm going to handle it. And I think we're so bent on trying to create distance and time and cover and all that stuff that we forget that at some point you do have to go hands-on and put this guy in custody.
I totally agree. Look, another great show. Thank you guys so much. Sheriff Mark Kreider, Jeff Wininger, LAPD, retired Secret Service Rich Steripoli. And guys, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue, but before we do that, we're going to steal some radio time from Randy Sutton and the Wounded Blue. And Jeff Wininger, you've got a book over your shoulder, On Thin Ice. It's getting ready to come out. Can you tell our listeners what the book is about briefly and how they can get a hold of it?
Yeah, you know, I talk about my personal background, which is rather unique, and my professional experiences and practical insights in regards to some of the recommendations that I have for law enforcement to be successful moving forward in the 21st century. And it should be coming out late summer, early fall. And you can go to jeffwininger.com or to onthinicebook.com and get put on the email list. And you can also access the first chapter for free. So
beautiful.
That's something worth doing.
There's the opportunity. Guys, a shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting. Also, Two Bills. They built a new online store and more information about a giveaway in a second. We'll look for you guys tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern. And we're going to keep this going for another minute and a half. And, you know, I didn't even mention at the beginning of the show, but we're going to be doing a Jeff's on the show. So we'll offer a Two Bells giveaway. I already have the gift card code. So and I know you guys probably haven't entered it yet because I haven't mentioned it. We may have to make this a 24-hour giveaway. But if you haven't won in the last 60 days and you want to get $20 off our online store, Jeff's wearing one of our shirts. Very cool looking shirt, by the way. I'm wearing one as well. We got all kinds of cool gear at leoroundtable.com. We have an online store that was built by Two Bells at twobells.com. They're going to give you $20 off any purchase that you make on our online store, and they're going to give you a free coolie. So all you have to do on the stream, whether you're watching YouTube, Facebook, you know, Rumble, LinkedIn, type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell. Give us your email address so I can email you that $20 off gift code and you'll be automatically entered in. So again, type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell and give us your email address. We'll make it a 24-hour giveaway if we need to, but make sure you enter that. And I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org as well. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD. Thanks, guys. We'll look for you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.